Welcome to the Historical Window, a program that lets you experience the past and treasure of the history of the Boise Fort Band of Ojibwe through the voices of our elders. Today we'll be talking with Lester Drift.
My name is Lester Drift. I was a senior until about 6 years ago, and then I lost a boy, 42 years old. I was born here on Knit Lake. I didn't grow too much. I didn't go too far in 70 years. But there's an old foundation over there that you could see where I was born. It was in a log house, no floor. I was born about 6:10 in the morning. Then back then, they had to take us to the Indian Hospital in Cloquet. So I was down there for a couple of weeks after I was born. So I was born and raised here and grew up around here. You know, just like all the other kids, I guess. Me and her have been we were married like 51 years now. We were high school sweethearts, you could say. So.
Who's your high school? What's your name? What's your high school sweetheart's name?
Oh.
Aaron Strong.
But, well, when I grew up, when I went to the first grade, I couldn't speak a word of English. So it took me about a whole year to have to teach all of us how to talk Indian. I didn't wear no shoes. I wore moccasins. And when everybody saw me wearing moccasins, they all wanted a pair, because it was so warm during the winter. I'd go up there during the winter, and when my feet would be nice and warm when I got up to the school. I didn't start talking English until I was in school. I think that was the start of the breakdown in our language. My mother talked English, my dad did, so that might have been the start of, you know, the breakdown and losing our language. They used to have an old, great, big white school, I'd say about 3/4 of a mile from here. And it used to be a two-story school. And it went from the first grade to the sixth grade. From the sixth grade to the 12th grade, we went from the 7th grade to the 12th grade. We went to Orr High School then. Mm-hmm. We had a very sadistic gym teacher who called us Knit Lake Goof-Offs. Back then, the teaching methods were reversed, where the teacher could hit the student, and the student couldn't hit back. There was a lot of racism between the whites and the Indians. That started changing around when more of the Indians start getting involved in athletics. Back then there was only a few of them that qualified for the team. Back then, growing up around here was enough. There was always something to do here. We always had or found something to do. Few of us had bicycles. My brother had one. Me and him would ride that. A lot of times we'd We'd fight over who could ride it, but, you know, we'd always ride it. Then my dad saw us fighting over it one time, so he took the handlebar off, thinking he could stop us. So I learned to ride that thing with just that little. He said, well, can't stop him. Might as well just put it back on her. So.
What do you remember about racing? Did you ever go racing?
Oh, boy. I remember a lot of hard work. I used to, I would jig the rice when they would need, like when they'd get off the lake during the day and they'd need a ceremony at night. They'd cook up a batch of that rice and it would take about maybe sometimes an hour, hour and a half of jigging that rice. But I used to do that in moccasins, stand there in back of the house, and kind of just before dark or something, or maybe an hour before dark, we'd have, they'd fan it out and everything. Then we'd have a meal and a rice. But that's what we did, the ceremony.
I think you talked about Spirit Island. What did you grow up hearing about Spirit Island? Why is it such a special place?
They taught us right from when we were young that there was somebody living in or around or under that island, and that it was a very powerful spiritual being. They said nobody could ever spend a night on that island because of the spirit. It was strong. I think somebody would see things and they'd probably get scared. There's some drawings out there on that island that are very old. Whenever we used to go out there, we would have to put some tobacco by them drawings so that if we were, a long time ago, we used to fish off of that island, catch some fish, you know, and bring it home. Then around in 56, I think it was, some people come from outside and they went and dumped a tub full of bullheads in there to try them out. Now that's all that's there. That's in there is bullheads. That ruined, like, it was pickerel, perch, suckers. Oh boy, northerns, I think there was a couple northerns in there. So we grew up, I guess, holding kind of like a reverence to the spiritual side of that island. Years ago, because of what happened to other lakes that had wild rice, they were contaminated by the motorboats and things like that. That's why a lot of them lakes now don't have the rice. So we never allowed any kind of a machinery on this lake here. The present tribal government has never, none of them have ever grew up traditionally. None of them have ever grew up speaking the language, knowing the ceremonies, or, you know, being a part of our tradition. They just come in with new ideas, like, you know, we all know we needed a tribal center. We all know we needed a fire hall. We all know we need our roads fixed. We know that. We're, the American Indians are natural conservationists. They know, we know that. See, and back then, everybody knew their place in the community.
Historical Window is a production of KBFT and the Net Lake Radio Project. This program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota.